When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This, But. My name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is Producer Dodds.
As always, and for one of the last times.
I know. Not forever, don't panic. This is episode 49, which I can't believe we've done 49 podcasts.
It feels like every episode we're like, I can't believe we're at episode 32, and then like a couple of weeks go by.
I know. So this is episode 49, and it's a very special one because it's actually the final solo podcast with myself and obviously Dodds, but the final solo podcast of this series. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have a little break so I can go on holiday.
And me too.
And so you can go on holiday.
Just get out of this room would be nice.
Yeah, we've been in here for 49 episodes. And yeah, we're going to have a bit of a month break, so we'll have one in the beginning of September and then we won't be back on until October, will we?
Yeah.
So we've waited until the kids have gone back to school and then we're smart, you see, holidays. We're going on our own holidays.
Smart.
Yeah.
The 50th episode, which is the actual season finale, as we said before, is obviously with the therapist that started this podcast, so Karen.
Not really said that yet, probably.
So we wanted to say goodbyes.
Yeah.
I think we have said it before, but we just want to say, put all the goodbyes and thank yous in this podcast.
Yeah, so this podcast is going to be a bit of a roundup of highlights of the last 49 episodes and also a massive thank you. I think we looked at the listener numbers yesterday and we've had 25,000 listens.
To season one. No, neither of us had done podcasts before.
Can you tell?
Yeah, probably won't be a surprise to a lot of people. But
and honestly, I'm absolutely blown away by it. I can't believe the feedback. I can't believe what we've been through. It feels like we've been on a massive journey.
And the good feedback, but also the bad feedback, or the constructive feedback. Because then
we've managed to change.
It's changed
stuff,
a lot, hasn't it, from episode one?
And also, we've had a bit of feedback on the last few episodes. So season two, we are taking that on board. I personally had a bit of a rocky time. So we steered away from the personal moments a little bit because I needed a bit of self-protection and Dodds very kindly gave me that. But now in season two, we're going to be back. We're going to talk about stuff again. We're going to help you. I'm going to be really open, honest, as always, because I know that's what everybody loves.
We were looking in, we sat down and had a meeting yesterday and looked at it when we looked at the numbers and stuff. And sort of the top episodes were you opening up.
The ones where I cry, basically.
Yeah, those ones. And the ones where it was like practical values, like surviving the work night out was one of them. So next season, that's kind of what will be a bit more like. It'll be the free personal branding advice. That's one of the most popular ones we did. Productivity life hacks, I think, was another one.
Yeah.
So universal advice and then
personal stuff.
Wide.
Yeah. So yeah, I know we've had a bit of feedback saying people are missing the personal, truthful admissions. And I'd just like to thank you all for being so patient with me while I've navigated some personal stuff. So it will be back. I'm feeling like I can start doing it again. Yeah. Episode 50, which is where we're going to end the series, is going to be me and my therapist, Karen, who I've talked about so much, who actually inspired me and pushed me to do this whole thing in the first place and inspired the way that we would go about the podcast. So can't wait for you to hear that. And I can't wait to do it. I just can't wait to talk to Karen that's not in a therapy session. And she's going to give you some tips about managing anxiety. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a really good podcast. So
we sent the questions over, didn't we? And
yeah.
She's like, okay, them all. So there's going to be a lot of value.
So much
if you ever thought about things like, when do you know that you need to see a therapist and stuff, and how it's not necessarily, it is for everybody, not necessarily people who are just struggling.
So I'm super excited. And she's the nicest person in the world, so I can't
I've never met her, but I feel like I've met her.
Yeah.
I wonder if she looks like the woman I imagine she looks like.
Oh, let's see. That's interesting. But yes, so that's going to be the final closing episode of the series, is me and my therapist having a bit of a therapy session live on the podcast. My thoughts on the last 50 episodes. Honestly, it's been a massive journey. And for me, I feel like I've changed and grown. I feel like I've dealt with a hell of a lot in 50 episodes.
Yeah. Like, obviously, probably the worst time to start recording a podcast, but maybe even the best time to start, like, getting your mood documented over this past year, considering the year that it's been.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, of all the years to pick, this could be.
I know.
The more interesting one.
That's very interesting, isn't it? We listen back and listen to the highs and lows of when I feel sad. And you can see it in the videos as well when I'm not in a good place.
Yeah, I think so as well. Or when you've not had a coffee.
Yeah, when I've not had a coffee and I'm like a bit miserable. But honestly, I didn't know what I wanted from the podcast. I wanted to help people. And I wanted just to enjoy it and get value from it myself. And that's definitely what's happened. I think some of my favourite episodes have been some of the toughest. I think talking about my dad's heart attack was one of the hardest things to do, because I'd not really explored that in any depth personally. So that was quite a difficult one. I'm trying to think of my favourites. I really love doing the drunk podcast, but not everyone enjoyed that one as much.
That one was more for us than
that
was for you.
More for, yeah.
But for thank you for listening.
Yeah.
For for anybody that maybe doesn't know the whole story, the podcast started because when Katie found out she had imposter syndrome, begrudgingly wrote an article about it, sort of putting her cards on the table and saying, this is how I feel, which from somebody from a sort of higher position was unusual. But that got loads of great feedback, and I think helped quite a few people. And then that sort of snowballed into videos, which again, begrudgingly, Katie did. And then that snowballed into this podcast. So once we found out that it helped people, it was to continue to do that, but in a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Efficient,
Can you think of me right at the beginning to right now?
Yeah, so we would talk and redo them. And at the beginning, it was all about keeping the mistakes in and stuff. And then we even got a couple of emails where it was like, we preferred it when Katie like fluffed up the lines, and because we kept that in. All of it was about being unpolished, because that's
but to be honest, now I've got so good that there aren't many.
Well, no one quite say that. But the drunk episode, that was because we were, you know, we'd never done it before, and we're just trying different pieces of content out. The idea is, I shouldn't say this, but, and it was all like letting you into the inner secrets of a working woman, that we would get Charlene, Katie's best friend and second best friend after me, and colleague on to, was it Paddy's Day? And we just all got pissed and just talked about Katie Leeson and Charlene, the person, rather than the MD, which we thought was brilliant. And, you know, after we finished it, thought this is the best podcast that's ever been recorded by anybody on planet Earth.
Please go back and listen to it so we can get those numbers up.
It was mixed reviews, I think, on the feedback. There was a couple of people that just wanted we do obviously the news and stuff, and I think they missed that. But now we know.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved it. And I think I personally wanted to do that. Like, it doesn't sit comfortably with me. It's funny now, because I talked to loads more people about doing this and doing the podcast and doing the personal branding. I think because we've managed to get a bit more traction. And it doesn't come naturally. It never did. Don't think it ever will. It makes me very
uncomfortable. That's so relatable, though, because it comes naturally to nobody.
Yeah, but also it's not an ego-driven thing, is it?
No.
So it's not, I'm not doing it to boost my own ego. It makes me quite uncomfortable when people talk about it. But obviously, if I'm talking to someone, they can easily find me. So I have to kind of be open about it. But the reason that I started it was because when I started out in the industry, which is 14 years ago now, there were very few women in leadership positions within agencies that I felt that I could aspire to be and look up to. And I feel so very, I was going to say lucky, but I've worked for it. So it's not lucky, but I feel very privileged that I am in a position now that I am, but also that I can show people that you can also do it, because I'm not completely out of the ordinary. I'm not very special. I'm just someone who really wants to learn. So for me, this is why I really wanted to do it. So just to show that I'm normal and you can do it. You don't have to do this hustle, boss, bitch, like thing that we've covered before
From what we can figure out, that's what people relate to.
Yeah.
That you are.
And that's the reason why I wanted to do it personally.
A job that a lot of other people do have. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
There's no like,
there's no formula, I'd say, to get in there. And I hope that that has helped inspire other people to see what they could be. And I think if you can't see it, you can't be it. It's one of my favourite sayings. And as I said, when I went on that training course the other week, one of the best things I took out of it is to rise as you climb. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's bringing everyone on the journey, giving people tips and helping them to be the best that they can be. So I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of you, Dodds. You've done a great job, so thank you.
Team effort, for sure. With that being said, does that conclude our what was supposed to be a 90-second intro?
Yeah, I'm really sorry. I went on one.
We should carry on with the...
I'm going to have to itch my leg. I've got a really big horse fly bite on my leg that blew up to a massive balloon.
That's the huge news.
This is the news this week. I've been bitten.
Was in hospital yesterday. An inch away. No,
that was a bit dramatic. I did wonder whether I was gonna have to go. It was a horsefly bite that's absolutely swollen my leg up, which is really attractive before I go on holiday, and it's just driving me crazy. It's very sore anyway. Right, the news. Sorry about that.
Your leg.
My leg's gonna fall off. And now it's time for the news of the week. Instagram is now letting users create their own augmented reality filters for your face. In a move that was a beta test, it's now been rolled out to every user, and it's great for brands because you can create your own and then you can get people to create UGC around it. So that is an exciting development in the Instagram space. And obviously AR and VR are something that's talked about a lot. So why is it important that Instagram have launched this? I think because it's already part of Instagram users' journey. People are already using filters, they're already using stickers, but to create your own that then people can then use in their content is incredibly powerful. So watch this space, watch out for which brands are going to be first to market using this. And I'm look forward to seeing all your content now you can do your own. Second bit of story is that Tumblr's been sold for a reported $3 million, which is a far cry from what it was valued at a few years ago, which was actually $1 billion. The reason for that, we think, is because the user numbers have dropped significantly. The platform was obviously used for quite a lot of nudes, and that got banned last year, which meant that the user number on the platform dropped. Blogging is obviously still a space that can be owned, and the buyers of Tumblr is actually WordPress, which is interesting because WordPress own like about 30% of all websites in the world, which is incredibly huge, and also means that if anyone can bring back blogging, I think WordPress and Tumblr can do that. So again, watch this space on that one. Final bit of little news this week is that a streamer, which is obviously something that is very much up and coming in the influencer world, a streamer called Ninja has moved off Twitch onto the platform Mixer for what we think will be a lot of money. But in doing so, Twitch haven't reacted in the best way. There's definitely, it's quite salty. Their reaction to him moving. And for what we can see and for what I know, the platforms definitely need to be looking after the creators in a better way. To react this way to him moving off Twitch is just very immature. And with so many options out there and with such high followers, I think with him moving onto Mixer, he managed to get 100,000 people sign up after the announcement. So big, big volumes. And if you think about the previous story with Tumblr and what happens with evaluations if people move off the platform, people that are creating on your platform that are driving viewership need to be looked after. So for me, they've made a bit of a mistake there of Twitch. Now it's time for our main story. And I can't even believe that I'm going to say this in this day and age. MPs have criticised the Home Office for their campaign that puts knife crime front and centre and knife crime stories. How have they done that? What was their big idea? Well, they have created 320,000 chicken boxes that have knife crime stories on them. Just let you think about that for a second. I find it shocking that they even thought, like, where did the idea come from? But Policing Minister Kit Malthouse has defended the campaign, saying that these chicken boxes will bring home to thousands of young people the tragic consequences of carrying a knife and the challenge of the idea that it makes you safer. The government is doing everything it can to tackle senseless violence, which we know, but also it's also bolstering the police ranks with 20,000 new police officers on our streets. So this is not the only thing that they're doing in isolation. But I just wanted to talk about it because I know we've talked on the podcast before about really knowing your audience and needing a diversity in opinion when you're coming up with ideas. And for me, this really highlights the fact that there is a lack of diversity within politics and a diversity of thinking. For a group of people to sit down and think that knife crime is being committed by young black youth, that the only way to reach them is by making chicken boxes is just absolutely shocking. I just think that it really, really shows you that they have not been out and spoken to people. They've not understood the world that these people are living in, what drives them, what motivates them, how they're going to make a change. They've just looked at something that they think is relevant to their lives. It's had a massive backlash in the press and the stories are rumbling on as I record this. I can't even believe that I'm talking about the fact that this has been a thing. Dodds and I were talking about it before we started recording the podcast and we both said that if this was something that we'd come up with in here, we wouldn't be here. We'd definitely get the sack. But really think about it when you're making decisions on your marketing and your brand. If you are trying to target an audience that you are not familiar with, speak to people, understand people, change your diversity measurements and metrics to make sure you've got a really good mixture of diversification in your offering, on your board, in your meeting rooms, so you can speak to people, because people who aren't part of groups that you're trying to target, you can't make the right decisions, and this is a case in point. So little rant over, I can't believe it, I'm really shocked. Great that they've put more police officers on the streets to help tackle the problem at its source, but I really don't think that insulting people by making chicken boxes is going to make any difference. Now it is time for our final admission submission of the series, and we are ending on a high, I'd like to say. The subject reads, how do you attract talent? And this is from a male, age 38. I started a recruitment role and I was wondering how you go about getting the best talent for Social Chain. That is a good question. So we have been extremely lucky at Social Chain that we have had a lot of people apply to work here because of the great culture and the brand that we have built, which has meant we've attracted some great talent. Where we have had to really think about it. So the growth at Social Chain has really come from hiring people that are social natives, people that understand the social landscape better than anybody else, but also coupled up with people who've worked in the industry and the media industry and the creative industry and the PR industry and know how to do things in the right way, I guess, in terms of how what clients expect. So the growth has really come from coupling with those two skill sets. We were fortunate that we had some amazing people that came through the door. Where we have really had to work on is find the people that have had the experience that just to show them the work that we're doing and how smart we are with our data and the incredible outputs and the clients that we're working with and the opportunity that Social Chain offers you as you want to move and step into a different phase in your career. So there's different ways of approaching attracting talent. I think you've got to really think about the roles that you've got to fill, who you want to attract. But the main thing that it always goes back to is understanding the culture and make sure that you are hiring on culture and on values. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am really strict on hiring and I make sure that I understand exactly who's coming in the business, whether I think that they're a right fit. We do a lot of analysis. It's not just unconscious bias because that's something else I'll talk about in a second, but also it's more how will they fit with the team? Will they cause problems? Are they the right sort of personality type? Will they add to what we've already got or is it going to cause more problems than it would do anything else? And we have said no to some really experienced people because we didn't feel like they would be conducive to the culture here. And for me, I'm very proud of the fact that we've done that because we are protecting what made Social Chain special. And keeping that culture special is the thing that I'd say keeps me awake at night the most. So, but also within that, you have to be very mindful of your unconscious bias and not go after people that are the same as you. Really think about your diversity of thought. Think about making sure that you've got a good breadth of talent and skill sets and personalities to make sure that your team is as strong as possible. If you hire everyone that's like you, it ain't gonna work. So really think about your unconscious bias and work on how to notify yourself when you think that you are following that path. Hiring can make such a big difference to your company in such a short space of time, hiring the right people. But hiring the wrong people can also take you out of the business for a really, really long amount of time while you try and solve problems. So it's incredibly important that you find your metrics that you want to score someone against. If it takes a little bit longer to find the right person, take that time because it's so important to find the right person. Please keep sending your admission submissions in. It's one of my favourite parts of the podcast and we are continuing to do that in the next series. So if you want to leave an admission submission, please go to the website, which is www.katieleeson.com and you can leave your admission submission there. We're going to finish off this last solo podcast of this series just with my final main piece, which is, I shouldn't say this, but I can't believe it.
Yeah.
50 pods, and we're going to do a bit of self-reflection. So don't worry, it's not going to be navel-gazing. It's going to be useful. So the biggest thing that I have learned from doing this podcast is that if you put your mind to it and you push yourself out of your comfort zone, it can lead to incredible things, not just for yourself, but also for other people. And I think if you are thinking of you really want to try something or you feel like you're in a position like I was where you've got an authority and you've got a place and a position where you can make a real difference to people, but you're a little bit scared to do it and you don't know how to start, I think just doing it and just jumping in feet first and giving it a go and seeing what you get back is my main takeout from doing these podcasts. I was incredibly nervous about putting myself out there and being honest and being myself. And we've had some trolling, not loads. We've had a bit. And it took a while for me to get my head around the fact that that's just normal and not to take it personally. But I think it's because I care so much about what I'm trying to achieve with the podcast. So I have learned that by being myself and putting myself out there in my own life, I've become a load more confident. And it's okay to be different and talk about things and really raise your head above the parapet and expose yourself. And the feedback that you'll get from people is the reason why you should do it, and you should take comfort in that. I can only be me, and it wouldn't have lasted as long if I hadn't been allowed to. I've been through so many highs and lows in the last 50 episodes, and I never thought that by doing a podcast this would enable me to be loads better at my job, feel more confident in public speaking, push me out of my comfort zone to do more talks, help other people get jobs that they really wanted to do but didn't know how to get there, and for me to understand myself a little bit better. I think one of the big things that I've taken out of this series is really understanding yourself and your values, and how by starting with that can really help you be the person that you want to be. So I think if you want to try something, my main thing is make sure you just give it a go, especially if you want to try personal branding, because it's a bit like a newspaper. If you do it and it doesn't work, it's gone the next day. You're not going to live and die by that one video. And I wish that I'd had that mindset when I went into it, because we took a hell of a long time to get me comfortable in front of the camera. Now it just kind of, we're still not one take, but it's a lot easier than it was, and I'm loads more confident. Since we started the podcast, since episode one, my mental health is actually all right. I feel like I'm okay at the moment.
In a good space.
I'm in a good space at the minute. I am incredibly happy. That's what I'm focusing on, is just being happy, not striving for anything, not pushing myself too hard, not trying to put pressure on myself. I'm just focusing on being happy and doing a good job for people here, and making sure everyone at Social Chain's happy as well. I'm good. The podcast, and also like just spending a bit of time doing something that I wouldn't normally do, has enabled me to learn, which is ticked one of my values, I guess, that I love to learn and I love to know things. And by doing the podcast and by talking to you guys every week about what's going on in the news and what's going on in the marketing world, it's helped me with my job in terms of being able to go and speak to new clients and put the knowledge of what we've learn into practice. Moving forward, as I said earlier, that the podcast moved slightly out of the personal honest admissions. Season two, we're going to be going back to being more open and honest about my life, what a female MD goes through, what trials and tribulations I have to deal with, hopefully maybe some dating stuff if I can get some. We'll see how comfortable I feel talking about that sort of stuff. I just want to say a massive thank you. And for me, it's helped me find my enthusiasm for learning again, which is something that I realised is one of my values. So for me, I've just rambled on a little bit, but it's this for me, if you feel like you want to do something, understand your values, understand what makes you, what drives you, and then just go for it. And I am incredibly pleased. I think a couple of the highlights for me, one is very early on after a talk that I did, there was a lovely lady that I met who was working in a client, but wasn't really doing the role that she wanted to do. She wanted to go more in the creative direction. So we sat and we had a coffee and we talked about it. And I helped her think about where she wanted to be. Just talked to her really, didn't really give her any advice because she knew what she wanted. She just needed to that little push to get her there. And a few weeks later, I got a message just to say that she'd got the job that she wanted. So I was incredibly proud about that. The other thing is, when I opened myself up about when I was struggling with anxiety, the feedback that I had from that and the support that I had from that, I can't thank you enough. You helped me get through possibly the darkest time that I have been through in my 35 years. And the podcast feedback on that episode has to be the thing that really pushed me to know that I'm not alone. So I want to say thank you for listening. Keep doing what you're doing. Please keep listening to us. next series is going to be insane. I can't wait for you to listen to the Karen podcast to round this series off. If you've got any questions that you want to ask Karen, then please send them through to us and we will include them in the podcast because we've not recorded it yet. So you've still got a chance. And I can't wait to see you for the start of season two for what's going to be just epic. We've got big plans, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. More guests, I think, as well.
More guests, more useful stuff. Like, I loved speaking to the nutritionist. I love speaking to Jane Kenyon. Her story is very inspirational. So more of that, more of me, and more fun. Thank you very much, and I will see you very soon.